Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
Hello, this week's guest is Jesse Poland of Laces and formerly of Charlotte Sometimes, who of course you are hearing right now. I've been a big fan of hers for a while, and a few years ago we met, and now we're friends. You might know her from television, from a show called The Voice, where all four judges chose her. We talk about that experience, her recent move to LA, her work on her new project called Laces, and a whole bunch more. If you're listening on iTunes and want to really help the show out, give a review and a rating.
What's going on in my life? Well,
starting always sucks. I usually cut out the first like 10 minutes after these boring like interview questions get out of the way.
What do you mean what's going on with my life?
What are you doing? What is your life like today?
So I'm living in LA and I just moved into a new place within the month to Franklin Village, and I'm working on a bunch of new music and sessions and all that fun stuff, but I'm just getting used to LA life and doing hot yoga these days, so
oh,
I think it's super fit.
So hot. And now you hate New York.
I don't want to say hate because that's like a really strong word, but I definitely don't have the love that I used to have for it. I feel like I have like this crazy amount of respect for New York, and we like did hard years together, and I like will always love her, but I just don't think we're right for each other right now.
And you're reinventing yourself.
I'm reinventing myself in every way.
In every way.
Yeah, I drink less, I work out more, and I have a whole new persona. So I'm working on a new music project called Laces, and I've killed Charlotte Sometimes, may she rest in peace.
Tell us about that. What happened?
Well, I've been doing, ignore the bird in the background. My neighbor has this bird that doesn't shut the fuck up, like ever. It's like, burr, 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 burr. Anyway, Charlotte Sometimes. She is basically, I just felt, you know, I had created that whole character and the music and everything at a very young age. And while I really enjoyed the music and really enjoyed being her, it just was kind of time to, you know, try on something new. I kind of outgrew what Charlotte represented, and it just wasn't inspiring me anymore. And I didn't really feel like it represented who I was as a person, and who I am as an artist and what I do as a writer in my everyday life. So I just thought I would make something that kind of just brought everything together just a little bit more. And Laces basically represents what ties two creative forces together. So it really represents the collaboration I have with other artists and other writers, and the collaborations I have with myself. And it's Jesse of Laces, so that way I can kind of be more authentically who I actually am.
So now you're Jesse. When I met you, you were you introduced yourself as Charlotte.
Yeah, well, now I'm Jesse. Now I'm just me.
You'll always be Charlotte to me.
Fuck you. She's dead.
You're in my phone as Charlotte Sometimes, and it's going to stay that way forever.
That's fine. I'm in my boyfriend's phone as Charlotte Sometimes, and he didn't even meet me as Charlotte Sometimes or at a show or anything. Like, he met me as, hi, my name is Jesse. And he was like, well, I already have a Jesse in my phone, so. And I was like, okay, but can you not have me in your phone as Charlotte Sometimes? He's like, no, I'm going to keep it that way. I didn't want to like send inappropriate messages to the wrong Jess. But not that we do that. But we, you know, we do that. So yeah, no, Laces is really fun. It's kind of a little different musically. But it's just kind of a slow creative process trying to figure out what the album's going to sound like and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's what you're working on, a full album with that, with Laces?
I mean, it's kind of up in the air right now. I mean, I have my timeline and my whole mission statement like a dork, but I feel like as far as the songs go, right now I'm just really focusing on making great music that I feel proud of. So it just, I can't really put a timeline on when that is over. I would love for it to be just done, but I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I've already like thrown out everything I've already done. So it's been interesting. I was like, these are going to be the songs. I'm like, these are not the songs. Try again. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, right now I'm focusing on a lot of features, and I just wrote a single for an artist named Cole Plant, who's a DJ on Hollywood Records. And that comes out on the 29th. So that was fun. And I've just been writing a bunch, been working with a lot of cool and big producers that I never thought I would get the opportunity to work with.
So this is, of course, old news, but a lot of people probably that know you from The Voice on the television. What was that? You have any good stories from that experience or some cool things that have happened because of that?
I mean, it just was another chapter in a very long book, you know? I think it was such a great experience and so much fun. And I mean, I definitely have stories. I don't know if any of them would really be that enjoyable for anyone else that just, unless you're on The Voice and was a contestant, because you wouldn't necessarily get it. I mean, we weren't really allowed to leave our hotels because people couldn't know we're on the show for the beginning of the show. So it was definitely like felt like summer camp, but like at the Hilton. So it was just like, and they really discouraged us from drinking, but of course it never stopped us. So there was like definitely a group of like bad kids, you know, that would always be at the bar or like
led by you, of course,
not me. And we would, you know, get delivery, like alcohol delivery, and have it in our hotel and have little parties. But you had curfew and all this stuff. It was definitely interesting. There was like some hookups going on. Not from me. I had a boyfriend at the time, but there's definitely some funny stuff that was happening. But I mean, mostly everyone got along, and you know, Blake was always really fun. He had his own for barbecue, and he was just very down to earth. And we had a little kumbaya, and we all sang to each other like hippies. So it was awesome.
Nice. You don't really perform too much like on tour on the road anymore.
That's right.
Why not?
Because it costs money to tour, and you can make money, but it's also like it's just a huge commitment to like mostly break even. So I think I toured this fall for like 2 months, and that was fun. And then right now I'm just focusing on being a writer and working on this new project. But as soon as the project's done, I'm sure I'll hit the road again. I just like to be sensible, you know. I think some artists really live for the road. I don't think I'm that artist. I definitely love to perform, and that's the best part of touring. But what they don't tell you is that that's like an hour out of your day. You know, the other 23 hours are traveling and being gross and not showering and, you know, unless you're Katy Perry. But it can be very grueling. So I felt like after doing it for 2 years straight, like it really kind of made me tired of it. So going on like a month or 2 month tours are usually like super fun and invigorating for me. But any longer than that, I'm turned off by the idea. But I'm sure when the new project is out, I'll go on tour again. But I just kind of been deciding, kind of putting together what makes sense for me as a person, as an artist. And I think so much people kind of, they separate the two. You're an artist or you're a person. And I think that you're a good artist if you're a person first. So I try to kind of feed into what makes me a happy person in order to be a good artist. So I've definitely kind of been putting together a plan and touring plans and that kind of thing in my head, and how that makes sense for my actual life, because I started making music to support me as a human being. So if it's not supporting me in that way, it's not serving my life.
So have you had some challenges being like what you said, when being on the road, you're on stage for an hour, and that's what people see, like that's what people think you are. And a lot of times for people that are entertainers, is that a dinosaur?
Yes, I have a dinosaur. No. I am by the highway. So let me close the window.
It sounded like a dinosaur.
Okay.
I forget what I was saying.
You were saying about the hour on
yes,
stage.
So when you're on, you know, you're on stage for an hour a day when you're out on the road and stuff, and then that people see you as that character that you're essentially like playing on stage. Did you have like trouble with that? Like, it seems like you're kind of like connecting back into being who you are. And it's been a thing with a lot of people I've been talking to, is like that finding that balance between the, you know, being on when you're on stage and then like living with yourself and not like hating yourself the rest of the day when you're like.
I think I never really struggled with that. No, I mean, for me, I feel more like myself when I'm on stage than I do in real life. That's why I do like being on stage. I feel more connected to who I am. But and I also feel like with that character, there was something to play, and that could be, I guess, exhausting sometimes. But I always loved playing characters. So like, even Laces is another extension of myself. It just more represents where I am right now. So I think that playing a character is just, it's not, neither of those characters are far from who I am. They're just a little bit more fluffed up, for lack of a better word, right now in my head.
Is there something that you, like, when you were younger, you imagined what life was like being an entertainer? Now you've been in it for however many years. How is, like, your life compared to your expectations of what you thought you were going to be? Like,
I mean, I definitely thought I'd be richer. I always thought it would make me happy. So I think that's like the biggest misconception, is that you're going to be really rich and you're going to be happy.
Yeah, like there's going to be like one thing that happens.
Yeah, so, it's like,
That's interesting to think, because like a lot of people, probably young people that are trying to do something, they're like, oh, if I get on The Voice and I'm on TV, that's like the turning point. Like that's then it's like, then it's on. I made it.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
People, you know, I think it's the same for me with, I thought like once I got like a good agent, and then it would just be like, oh, cool. Now I have like work all the time. And same thing, I'm going to be making tons of money. And that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
And then that's not really how it happens.
Yeah, I think that can be definitely, you know, a place for awakening. I mean, it doesn't stop being my dream. I mean, like, I love making music, it's who I am. But I think that you do things like, well, you know, when I was standing here, I was like, well, if I get a record deal, right, then I've made it. If I'm on VH1, then I've made it. Okay, well, I've done those things. I don't feel like I fucking made it. I mean, like, you know, I was like, well, if I'm on TV, like, then I was like on The Voice, and then, oh, then you've made it. But there's really, I think that what artists and people who want to be professional artists need to understand is that there's no like I made it moment. I think even the most successful people who win a Grammy or win it still don't feel like, well, maybe they fucking do, I don't know. But maybe I feel like it's the state of being an artist where you never feel good enough. you always keep going. There's always some goal that you haven't reached, so you still feel like a chump. But yeah, I definitely thought when I was younger, like, well, then if I'll get signed, then I'll have, like, all this money, and I'll be doing what I love, and it's going to be great, and everyone will love me. And then I was like, oh, so that was not what happened. I mean, well, I made money, but I don't have it anymore. But I was saying, like, there wasn't, like, even when I had those things, I didn't feel that moment. All I felt was, well, now everybody needs to buy my record, and now I have all this pressure. Now I have to go on the road for 2 years and not see anyone that I care about. And like, there's a lot of unglamorous moments. I mean, it's a job. I mean, it's a passion and it's a job. And I think that when you forget that it's also a job, it can be really, really let you down, you know, because there's a fantasy part of being a creative person, but there's also a reality to make the fantasy happen. They kind of have to come together. Once you can accept that, it becomes more enjoyable and more realistic.
What's something right now? So back then you had a view of what was like making it, and, you know, acknowledging that, I think we, after being in entertainment for long enough, we understand that there is no moment of like that time where something is, you know, making it. What do you think right now for you would be something that would feel like that moment, though, like something that, like a goal that you think would like kind of take you to the next level?
Well, I thought it was getting a single on a major label record that wasn't mine, and I just did that, and I don't feel anything. I don't know. I don't feel like I've made it again. I'm like, crap. Now I need a hit.
Right.
So, I think if I had like a hit song that I wrote for an artist, I would feel like I made it. But I'm probably lying, because I'm sure if that happened, I'd be like, well, now I need to get signed again, and now I need to be an artist. And
yeah, then you'd want it to be you performing.
It has to be me.
Yeah, this jerk off got all the credit for the song.
That'll be like the next one. Yeah, no, I would like to be able to get a commercial. I've been working really hard to do that lately. So that, and yeah, I mean, I definitely feel very proud of myself about the single that I wrote. So I never thought that was going to happen. I was like getting to the point of like writing for all these artists and like getting maybe baby cuts or cuts with big artists that aren't signed, so they don't count towards my contract with Sony, and like just feeling like I was putting all this creative energy out and getting no return. Being like, these are good songs. So I was just starting to feel like, I don't know why I do it. Like, I'm so bad. No one understands. Blah. Now I'm not even showing it sometimes. Who am I? But then I was like, okay. So I wrote this song and really didn't think it was going to happen. And like, I signed all the paperwork and I was like, so it's happening? Are we sure? Are we positive? Are you not going to release this? Like, I didn't believe it, and I still don't believe it. It comes out on the 29th, and when it comes out on the 29th, then I'll be like, I did a single.
Yeah, and there's so many terrible things that happen in the world, like, of big promises that are made, that when something cool happens, you're always like, well, I don't think it's real. It happens to me like all the time. Every time I book like a decent show, I'm like, I wonder if it's real. And then I'll like look on their website, like if it's at somewhere, I'll like be like stalking their website to see if they like posted on their website. And then I'm like, oh, it seems like it is. And you know, it's like, oh, it's all like you have contracts and everything, but you've been screwed so many times.
I just always assume that nothing is real. I just, like, you know, I've been, like, in the songwriting world a lot more now that I've moved out to L.A., and it's been really interesting because it's definitely a different world than the New York writing scene, which doesn't really exist anymore. But, you know, I've gotten so much closer to getting cuts here than I was in New York, but I'm like, but am I closer? Or just people telling me I'm close? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then when I got the single, I was like, yeah, no, it's not happening. I mean, it's not true. Like, I just was like, I even said it out loud and was like, well, maybe I shouldn't say it out loud. Like, I just told you, and I'm almost certain that like, I'm going to get a call, and it's going to be like, we decided not to release it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm writing on this single for this Disney artist, so I...
Do we need to wait to release this podcast until it comes out, and so we don't spoil it?
No, right? I mean, it's fine. So, then I'll just be like, this is a lesson to learn in the entertainment business. You will be fucked, and you'll be fucked again.
Yeah.
And you just have to smile and say, can I have another?
Yeah, more please.
it's definitely been interesting. But yeah, I'm trying to do this new project, and what I've realized is that it's really hard to get the music done when you don't pay people to do it. That's another thing. Like, everything takes money, and as a musician, you mostly lack that. So I was just like figuring all of that out. So once a single comes out, then I can pay to probably get my stuff done. So, but yeah, I mean, go ahead. You
so
love me?
What? You're the best.
I'm such a headache. I've been doing hot yoga and sweating so much that I just feel dizzy. I like
and
am so
you do that pressure. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, you sent me your calendar thing, and I saw that, and I was like, "Whoa, every day."
Seems every day. Well, I've only done it 4 times in a row. I mean, I just started last week, so.
I've been doing this every day. I'm so exhausted. But it's like my 4th time, but. It's just started this week.
I did it 4 days in a row. Today's my 5th day in a row. Tonight. But I'm feeling a little loopy.
Yeah. I've never done that. Is it cool?
It's really extreme.
Yeah.
But I think I've already lost a lot of weight, so I'm happy.
You're supposed to drink water when you sweat that much. That's why you're dizzy.
It has electrolytes.
Oh, okay.
And I had coconut water. Boo!
That's gross. You drink coconut water?
Yeah, it's gross though, right? It tastes like... It has a consistency of spit.
It makes me want to throw up.
Have you ever done like a colon thing where they like you had to get a colonoscopy?
No.
And they make you like take this like disgusting liquid that has the consistency of spit, and you have to drink like a whole gallon of it. And it kind of reminds me of coconut water, except coconut water is like the tastier version of that.
You just ruined coconut water for a lot of people. Every time they drink that now, they're thinking about a whole different thing.
Hold on, my phone keeps buzzing. Alright, sorry, I'm back.
Back. What were we talking about? Nothing. We were talking about nothing, as usual. Oh, so, talk about your, like, everyday, so you're writing songs for... Mm-hmm. Other people. That's your main, yes. Like, day-to-day thing?
It's my day-to-day thing. I usually have sessions 4 to 6 times a week. And so I work with a bunch of different artists. And I just worked with this girl, Poppy, the other day. She's signed to Island. And so I just go in and I write about other people's feelings.
So you work with specific artists?
I work with specific artists. I also work with producers, and if they're working with an artist, you know, we'll write a song for them, or we do pitches, or we do ad music, which is like just sync kind of songs, which are like la 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 la, happy happy happy, just like that. Oh, I mean, I'm really good at melodies.
If you were going to write a theme song for me, what would it sound like?
A theme song for you?
Yeah.
Whoa. Chris, he's the best. Chris.
That is...
And the rest.
That is why I don't hire you to write things for me. That
Chris,
I was like a 4-year-old.
Chris, he is like magic.
Perfect. That was great.
I mean, I wanted to say like he like disappears and reappears, but I couldn't think of the right word at the time, so I just... I just did what I could on the top of my head. I hope you understand.
Thanks. That's great. That was great. So how many songs a week do you write?
Like 4. Around 4.
Oh, so like every day you make one.
I try. I mean, I don't necessarily write a song every day. But I do try to write at least Yeah, I would say anywhere between, I'd say about 4 on average. So I have a lot of feelings, so that's the good thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot to pull from.
You just get it out there.
I just get it out there. And if it's somebody else's feelings, even better. Like, we can make a little feeling, like, bowl. And then we'll just mix it all together and then serve it to the people. Chris does a magic trick. He can fly on a broomstick. You've got cards, he's got time. He's better than a glass of wine.
Do you remember, where did I meet you? In Charlotte? No. Myrtle Beach? No.
Alabama? No. South Carolina? North Carolina?
Charlotte. Where's that? Yeah. North Carolina.
I think so.
Remember that show that you did? That sucked? No, it's good.
Well, first off, fuck you. Secondly, fuck you. Thirdly, I was ill.
Yeah.
And I would say I wasn't in a good space that day.
Yeah.
Period. But it's fine. It's over. I don't think about it unless you bring it up. But thanks for making me feel like a complete tool. Everyone has a bad show every once in a while. Everyone fucks up sometimes.
Yeah.
No.
And there was somewhere that I was going with a bad show thing. Not that that was a bad show. Like, whatever was happening. Like, you were
fuck
sick
you.
Or whatever.
I hate your fate. And I'm never going to write you a theme song ever again.
I'm going somewhere with this. That
Chris is mean, he's a mean machine.
How do you get through? So, like, again, with doing shit, like, getting booked or whatever, or writing songs or whatever, there's, like, so much disappointment and, like, letdown. And then sometimes that happens with shows, whether it's your fault or the audience's fault or whatever. How do you get through stuff like that and, like, keep going? If something goes
in.
What?
I mean, luckily, my life has been, I've had such a challenging, disappointing life that it really set me up to be able to handle disappointment on the stage. No, I mean, I don't know. I just try to, I'm a tough person, so I just kind of am able to just turn it off and just move on, because I know that it's going to only hold me back if I kind of latch on to a bad moment or disappointment, because that's not going to serve me. And I think there's always the next performance, and you can change everybody's mind if you just do a really great job, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing with songs. Like, for every 5 songs that suck, maybe there's one that's, like, really amazing. And then no one cares about those other songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that I didn't mean to be, like, it sounded mean when I said that, but
it's okay, you're mean. I get it, it's fine.
Yeah, we get it. I was trying to get that where it's, you know, we see these, and this is, I want my show to be kind of, whether this, like, my podcast or my real show, to be, like, somehow, like, help people, that, like, everyday people, not just, like, entertainers or whatever. And I think we see a lot of people see, like, that one bad thing that happens and then, like, latch onto that and then forget about all the good things that are going on. And, like, and I do it myself as well, where I'm trying to figure out a way that, like, you know, to do the opposite of that. Like, one bad thing happens, most people forget, like, your audiences and stuff forget about that. And, like, if you have fans, they forget about the crappy song that you wrote or whatever, and they like your good songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm trying to go with, you know, get people to, like, other people to kind of notice that and realize that in their, like, lives. So there's no question there. I just, like, you know, that was a good thing that you had, the statement of moving on and acknowledging the good things rather than the bad things. Besides your upcoming song that you wrote being released, what do you think is your biggest accomplishment in life or your business?
That's a hard question. I mean, in my business, I would say, like, my biggest accomplishment to me was, that's so hard because I want to say when all four chairs turned for me on The Voice felt like my biggest accomplishment because, it was a really unbiased moment that was just based on me singing and not even writing, just me singing. So that was a nice moment for me, because no one can take that away from me. But I would say that that was, you know, a really, you know, cool moment for me. Personally, I would say, like, moving across the country was a pretty proud moment for me. It meant that I had to love myself, which I think is hard for anybody to do.
What do you mean? Why? Like, why?
Well, I just had to get away from a lot of negative energy and a lot of negative things that had happened to me. And I think it takes a lot of strength to get up and move on and to take your life into your own hands and make the changes that are necessary to be a stronger, happier, healthier person. And I think it's easy to live in negative land and live in victim land and live in depression. It's really easy to go there and stay there. But it took a lot of strength and a lot of love that I had to kind of muster up in order to make the changes that were necessary and to move and start living my life the way that I know I can. So I think I'm really, that's probably to me my biggest accomplishment as a person. Because I didn't necessarily think I had that in me.
Yeah, and taking that step has obviously paid off and been a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said this, but I don't know if I've ever really believed it. Never really lived it. But if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. You know, and if you don't love yourself, it's really hard to really accept anybody else's love, you know?
Yeah.
So I think everyone finds out that lesson at their own pace, or some people, I guess, don't find, you know, learn it at all. But I wish that everyone gets the opportunity to have the strength to be able to do that, because it's hard, but I think that it's, at the end of the day, is more rewarding and fulfilling.
Does that feeling come for you from doing your work or more in your personal things?
I would say more in my personal life, for sure. I think that when I write a good song, though, it's always, I mean, very cathartic, and I feel very in touch with myself when I'm writing. It's a beautiful, I think writing songs is the best. I just love writing songs. I love being in the studio. I like to escape there. When you're on stage, it's less of an escape, but more of a being with yourself and with everybody else. It takes a lot more courage to be on stage than it does to be in the studio.
Right. But there's something about that, like, instant feedback and...
Which makes it difficult. You know, I mean, I think you have to be, like, an extremely... To be a good performer, you have to be extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
As someone who's singing a song, you have to let people see you so that they can engage with how you're feeling, and it can engage with your performance and with that song and connect to you. If you don't allow yourself to be connected to, they will feel nothing. So I think that there's an extreme amount of vulnerability to be on a stage. And as someone who tours, you don't necessarily always want to go there every day. It's hard. Yeah. So I think that can be challenging. Thinking about touring, that is also something that I found challenging.
Yeah.
You have to get out of your own way.
Right. Yeah, I think there's about that, like, accepting or loving or, like, accepting yourself or whatever, however you said that was. Because sometimes for me, it was like when I'm on stage, I'll do like a show and then people will come up after the show. Oh, that was awesome. That was great. And then like I'll have this thing where I'm like, no, yeah, thanks. But I wasn't really feeling this good about it. And it's like letting that come through is like ruining it, not only for yourself, but for the people that just like said you were awesome and really enjoyed what you did. And you're like,
yes, I agree with you. I think that's what's really what is important as people, is that when someone says something to you and they're giving you a compliment, even though it's really hard, just accept it. Don't take the compliment away from them. You know, like if I said someone, like if I was like, Chris, you're so handsome, and you're like, no, I'm not. Like, why are you taking away my compliment? I'm like, are you saying that I don't know what handsome is? You're saying I don't, like, I'm telling you, you're handsome. And you say, thank you, Jesse. And I say, you're very welcome.
I say, you're the best, and you're beautiful as well.
See? And I immediately want to be like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, you paused there, and you were like,
Thank you, Christopher.
That was something
else. What else you got, big boy?
There's something else there that I wanted to say. How do you want people to remember you?
Like when I'm dead?
Well, what? No.
It'll be a little experience, buddy. I can just see it now.
We're going to scratch all of that, and I'll say, what do you want people to go away with after experiencing what you do, whether it be hearing one of your songs or seeing one of your shows? What do you want your audience to walk away with?
I'd like them to walk away. What I want them to walk away with, or how I want them to think of me when they walk away from it?
Both.
Okay. Well, I hope that when they listen to my music, they walk away with some sort of comfort and strength from it, knowing that they're not alone with how they're feeling, and that it's okay to be a little left of center. And as far as what I hope they think of me, is that I hope they can see who I really am. I hope they can see that I'm the strength and vulnerability, and that, you know, I'm tough but sensitive, and that I love them.
And we love you too. Thanks for listening. We'll leave you with another Charlotte Sometimes tune.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.